This year's commercial sacro herring fishery in Sitka opened on a Wednesday. On Thursday, there was another commercial opener, but there was spawning visible on 2 miles of shoreline. On Friday, there were 11 miles of spawn. By Saturday, when managers opened a third and final commercial opener, 18 miles of spawn. On Sunday, 28 miles. Bill Davidson is the Southeast Regional Management Coordinator for Commercial Fisheries with the state.
With a major spawning event like that, there aren't many opportunities to harvest pre-spawning herring.
Overall spawning miles eventually reached 42. As spawning began to taper, Davidson and other managers knew that the chances for completing this year's commercial catch were becoming remote. The sacro fishery is not just about getting your net around fish.
It's not a question of how much herring can we harvest. It has to be how much high-quality roe can be harvested, and it's all a matter of timing.
This is the second year in a row that spawning has outpaced the commercial harvest. In 2012, fewer herring arrived than forecast, in part because of problems with the forecast model, and in part because of the vagaries of nature that every management biologist contends with.
One of the aspects of fisheries management that I've observed across all species is every year is different. And it's kind of a function of not only the biology, but the behavior, local conditions, the weather. So I don't see any fundamental change in herring spawning behavior here.
One major difference this year, however, is that in 2012, the Alaska Board of Fisheries reserved roughly 10 square miles near the community of Sitka for the subsistence harvest of roe on hemlock. Davidson refers to the restricted area as a refuge, and the herring apparently got the memo.
The first opening was immediately west of the boundary line for this area, and we had identified a fairly substantial volume to as a basis for the first opening, and yet the boats and the fishing in that area, it looks like a lot of the fish that we had been fishing on did move into that zone.
Davidson does not blame the new subsistence area for the failure of the commercial fishery. The department has always attempted to disperse effort, but he says it is certainly a part of the overall picture. Most of this year's major spawn occurred in the area. By agreement of the 48 permit holders, the fishery is now in a co-op with about 10 boats searching for unspawned herring on the grounds between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. anywhere in the Sitka Sound regulatory area. Processors will sample herring in each set as they are caught and report the results to Fish and Game. In the past, co-ops have been used often to mop up the last 500 tons or so of quota. The chances of this co-op getting anywhere near the 6,000 tons needed to fill out this year's harvest are remote, but it has been done. In the late 1980s, early spawning forced the entire fishery into a co-op, and seiners reached their target nonetheless. In 1996, in Bill Davidson's first of 9 years managing the fishery, a major spawn appeared to have ended the season early until a secondary spawn occurred 2 weeks later. The price, Davidson recalls, opened at about $2,000 a ton, and the many seiners who waited it out cashed in. While he holds little hope for repeating those successes, as a scientist, he's also reluctant to foreclose on Sitka Sound herring after two troubled seasons.
It's something we have to not overreact to, but we need to continue to monitor this population, and it's, by all measures, still a healthy resource, and I think it will continue to be.
That is certainly the hope of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and others who depend on herring not just for cash, but as a staple of the subsistence economy in the region. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.